They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
You're potentially the face of a franchise. I don't want that face to be that of an asshole.
Russ Ivanek.
Taking out of my logical mind for a minute. He's just fun to watch.
And Justin Marcus.
Just park the khaki elephant in the room. No.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. Joined in studio today by Russ Ivanek.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good, buddy. How you doing, man? You having a good time?
Yeah, having a good time so far. Let's see how this conversation goes.
It's about to get a little worse. Justin Marcus is here.
Hey, now. You knocked that off.
We're always happy to have you, Jay. It's always a good time when you're around.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, and I'm living up to the tagline in our open. I am enjoying a beer while I'm doing this, so it's a two-hearted today.
That's always a good thing. It's always a great thing. Now, we have other things to talk about, but literally, I've had this little clip sitting on the array we have for like 3 months now, and I've just wanted to play it, and now we're close enough that I can play it. Guys, my question for you is...
Are you ready to touch the football?
No.
Yes.
Justin's very ready for football.
Dude, I need football in my life. You don't understand. I'm having like withdrawals over here.
That's fine. That happens. Russ, you're not ready for football?
Nah.
God.
Oh, you want me to elaborate on that? Is that how that goes? Yeah. I'm ready for training camp to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still July for me. I'm still detoxing a little from the past hockey season and that and being all upset about the direction the Wings are in.
Yeah.
I think the Lions have a chance to be the only promising Detroit team this year, so I want to wait a little bit before I'm crushed with that disappointment.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And, of course, we're gonna cover all of Lions as well as we're going to cover the good football team in Michigan, U of M, and their ugly stepsister, Michigan State. And we may even cover a little bit of Ohio State because our friend Luke is an Ohio State fan for some reason. We don't really know why. And Russ is...
You're like, we might cover Ohio State, but also Michigan State's ugly.
Yeah. You know what? Ohio State, they're in another state. That's why. It's okay. They're away.
I'll slide out of mind.
And your girlfriend's family has the misfortune of somehow rooting for them, I believe, too.
They work for them.
Oh.
Yep, both of them.
Fun fact.
To the University of Ohio, I would like to apologize.
The Ohio State University.
There is no "the" in front of their name. They are Ohio State University.
Okay.
We are the University of Michigan.
No, shut you both.
I don't think articles are exclusive. I mean, we can pass those out like candy on Halloween.
Okay.
Article is in the. The three-letter word at the beginning there.
I took English three times. I figured it out after the third, yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Thanks for that. I used a verb.
You guys are speaking French to me, so.
I know, Justin.
We've gone off the rails already.
Yeah, we're just.
Did you want to talk about football?
No, I didn't want to talk about football, actually. First thing I want to talk about is the subject we don't talk about enough, in my opinion, and that's golf. Because, as we know, I'm a big golfer, love the game. Justin's trying. He's getting there. He's getting better. Justin, I assume you watched the Open Championship and you enjoyed it. You texted me a couple times. My only question to you is Tiger Woods back?
I have to say yes. I mean, he was leading on a Sunday in his Sunday red. I mean, if that's not back, obviously he didn't win, but that is back. He is back, and he is good for golf. The ratings came in, and they did amazing with the Open. I mean, I love it. You got Spieth, you got Mickelson, you've got Woods, and you've got, you know, all the other guys that come through and play every single weekend. So I'm on the train of Tiger being back, and I hope he wins one soon. Like, I've got no issues with him being back. He's good for the sport of golf without fail.
Okay. Now,
I mean, you saw that viral video of him when he was talking to a crowd of people, and he's just like, "Hey, I come to the course with confidence. If you can't deal with that, then that's your effing problem." Like, he is on point right now, and I love it.
That's good. All right, so now, since you're saying he's back, I'll ask you this. Jordan Spieth needs the next major, the PGA Championship, to get the career Grand Slam. What happens first? Jordan gets the career Grand Slam, or Tiger wins a tournament?
Spieth. I mean, he hasn't won since he won the Open, what, 2 years ago?
Last year. He won it last year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this past weekend was his best round in terms of the major events, so I would have to go with Spieth, but in all honesty, they'll both achieve both those results sooner than later.
Okay. Russ, from your wealth of knowledge, is Tiger Woods back in the game of golf?
When I think of Tiger Woods, I think of, like, that guy at the party that when it started, he was ripping shots, and he's a rock star, and he's bouncing around, much like Justin has in the past, you know?
Yeah, I remember.
But then, like, a couple hours in, he just kind of disappears, and everyone knows why, and we try to ignore all those awful noises coming up from out there. But then suddenly he comes back, and everyone's like, he's back! He's not back.
You literally just described one night we had at Justin's house.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking
just
about.
Just ripping it. Yeah. Justin disappears for a little bit. He came back, but he wasn't the same.
Not really there. You sip on your water at the end, and you kind of get the vacant expression. He hasn't won a tournament since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
This was a blip on the radar. Tiger's not back. The game's passed him while he was off, you know, praising the porcelain throne.
Yeah. Okay. I tend to lean more towards Russ on this one. I think Tiger's making strides, but again, I think all we're going to be getting is a shell of what we used to have. Tiger's never going to go on this massive run where he just claims like 70 top 10s in a row and wins tournaments left and right. His best chance was this Open because people were kind of kneeling to him. People were falling by the wayside and letting him move up, and he just couldn't sustain. Players realized, wait, we're not going against 2002 Tiger Woods. We're not going against this guy who was unbeatable. We're going against someone who's a golfer just like us. And the other thing is, a lot of the guys he's competing against now that are top-tier players were in, like, diapers when Tiger was doing this. So they know the legend. They've never had to go up against the legend. And now that they're playing him at his best, they're realizing, wait, this guy's not what everybody seems. Like, we can beat him. So, Jay, I'm afraid you're alone on this one. I'm going to say Tiger Woods is not back.
That's fine. I could take that. I mean, because I'll just prove you guys wrong when, you know, he wins. I mean, I'm not thinking he'll win, like, the amount he's won in the past, but could you put him down for two? Sure. I don't see why he couldn't do it. I mean, he's aging, yeah, and every day he gets a little bit older. But, I mean, he's got, like, a brand new back after his surgery, so he's literally back.
His back's back.
His back's back.
His back is back, so that's good. We've got good news there.
Fair enough. Moving on, the little bit of football we are going to talk today, because most of our show is going to be Red Wings related, because we've got a little thing going on with the captain, and we've got a best of topic that I think is going to take us quite a while to get through, because I could see us having some disagreements. But the little bit of football I do want to talk. We spoke last week about Ziggy getting being franchise tagged, not taking the extension. Earlier this week, the Lions put him on the physically unable to perform list. Now that we're seeing it, Ziggy with the injury. Russ, does this franchise tag kind of look even more appealing now?
It's the exact same standpoint I had last week, except magnified a little bit. From the Lions, it looks brilliant. They've made Ziggy assume all the risk.
Mm-hmm.
From a fan, this just put me one step closer to thinking Anthony Zettel's the best defensive end we have on this team. And that scares me every single time I think about it. Am I that worried about him being put on the PUP right now? No, I kind of think it's precautionary because he did have surgery on his knee in February.
Yeah.
It's only been about 5 months. But at the same time, if I'm drawing out the success story of Ziggy for this season, this isn't how it starts.
No.
This is not ideal. I'm not too worried about it, but I haven't been given any reason to be optimistic yet.
Okay, fair enough. Jay, franchise tag kind of looking like a little bit more of a right decision by the front office. As a fan, are you okay with it? Are you thinking that this is kind of what needed to happen?
I mean, it's a convenient position to say that we made the right move. In my mind, I feel like we just started to watch a movie and our main character just got kicked in the nuts from the first scene of the movie.
Are you watching Jackass again?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All day long. No, but seriously, though, like, I feel like, yeah, this is just the beginning of his contract show-me year, okay? He just got announced on the PUP list. Yeah, it sucks. It's not the way to start. But let's see where he's at week one, because if he's off that list, the only people that are going to remember that are the people who do Monday Night Football and who are going to, you know, announce that game. So I'm really hopeful he's not, you know, this isn't a setback. It's just a shitty beginning for him, and he has a good year because he needs to have a good year either way. So it looks good now for the Lions, but I hope he absolutely just tears it up.
Okay. Jay, I'll let you go first on this one. Quick salt, because, you know, we try to work it in as often as we can. Salt or no salt, Ziggy plays 10 or more games this year.
No salt. I mean, he's had injury issues in the past, too, but he's also started the majority of his games of the season. He has injury issues. He had the 1 year where he had two or three sacks, and that was it, something stupid like that.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
I mean, I think that's all in his past, and he's grown. I'm being optimistic, believe it or not, on Ziggy. I like when guys are up against it. Like, Tiger had a shitty situation. He's come back. He's on the comeback now. Ziggy, he is in a contract year. At the end of the day, he needs to get paid. Someone's got to pay that man his money. So the fact that he's in a contract year and he's up against it, I have high hopes for him. So no,
pay
no
that man his money.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Russ, salt, no salt. Ziggy plays 10 or more games this year.
Yeah, I think he does it. He doesn't play 16, I don't think.
No.
But, I'll say no salt.
Okay. Personally, I you know me, I like to be the optimistic one. I like to kind of see the light at the other end of the tunnel. I'm having a hard time with this one. I think what the best we were going to see from Ziggy, I think we've seen already. I think we're kind of holding on to the hopes that, like, if we wait just a little bit longer, he's gonna get back to the form he once was. Kind of like with some of the other players we have playing in Detroit right now, mostly Red Wings players, but, you know, I just think we're holding on to the legend of and praying that it's still in there somewhere, but I want to say he'll be able to get more than 10 games in, and he should be able to, but I don't know. Something tells me when we're starting off with him on this list, I'm just very concerned that we might not get to see a lot of Ziggy this year, and I could very easily see us parting ways with Ziggy Ansah at the end of this year. Sad to say.
But wouldn't you think it's almost like a win-win, though? Because, like, if he does amazing, we either re-up him and give him a better deal, or we trade him thinking that it's not going to be a long-term thing. And if he plays like shit, we just, you know, let him go.
Well, that's what I said last week. The only way this franchise tag bites us in the ass is if Ziggy goes out there, just tears it. 16 games, one of the most dominant linemen in the league, just can't be stopped. Then we're going to have to shell out larger money than we already were talking to him for. So the win here is if he goes out and has a middle of the road season, good enough to justify re-signing, we can get him at kind of potentially at a little bit of a bargain, if not what we offered him previously. He has a crappy year, yeah, we can cut ties with him, move away, we've got money to spend. So we have to see, but I mean, the last couple seasons do not give me any faith that Ziggy Ansah is going to go out there and have, like, you know, a 17, 18 sack season, be a guy that's just completely destroying the edge. And it's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I think something more like 10 sacks is reasonable.
Yeah, which that's fine. Yeah, I don't have a problem. Yeah, I don't have a problem with 10 sacks. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's what I'm saying is I'm not getting my hopes up for this one. I think that the best of Ziggy's already happened, and we're just kind of, I don't want to say beating a dead horse because that's not fair to say. He's not dead yet, but we're just kind of...
He's in his fifth year in the league.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I think that Ziggy's going to be one of those guys who there'll be flashes of it throughout the year, but I do not think there'll be consistency to it. Okay. I think it'll be more of like he'll go on like a 4-game drought, get a sack and a half.
Mm-hmm.
2-game drought, 2 sacks. You'll see it, and it'll be enough to kind of go, okay, yeah, there he goes, he's back. Don't see it. Oh, there we go, he's back, kind of thing. Right. Kind of with our like how our running game can be from time to time, where we'll go a quarter and a half without gaining a yard, and then we'll bust a 50-yard, oh, we got a run game. No, we don't.
Right.
No, we don't.
No, I mean, like, that's all, like, logical stuff, and I can't disagree with it. I guess I just, why I'm optimistic is Matty Patty. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do to that defense. So if Ziggy has a great year, all credit goes to Patricia. I mean, if our defense does anything effective, even though it never got upgraded this offseason, Patricia. Like, as much as Anta's on the line, I think Patricia's going to get the bulk of the credit if shit starts to click.
Okay. I will say, we did upgrade linebackers a little bit. the outside linebackers? Yeah, because we had a whole bunch of nothing, and now we've got what, Devin Kennard, Christian Jones. There was there's another couple of depth guys that we brought in, and before it was Tahir Whitehead and a guy that we made a fullback. Like
Well, and to me also the key thing here is I give Slay a lot of gripe. I really do. We have a very good secondary. We have a secondary that I'm not going to say like we have a top three secondary in the league, but we have a secondary that if the defense can get the defensive front can get enough pressure on, these guys are more than capable of covering, making it very tough. So we do. But to me now the question has to become, how much of it is Patricia and how much of it is what Caldwell built that he just didn't get over the edge? Like how much of it, how much of what our, like if we go out there and have an 11-5 season this year, yes, obviously a lot of that's going to go to Patricia for the coaching change, but I'm going to say 70%. Of the pieces were already in place. So how much of this is kind of like when we mentioned a while back when Gruden won the Super Bowl using Tony Dungy's football team?
Right.
How much of it is Caldwell's team that Patricia just kind of was able to get over the next little hump?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of a cop-out answer here. Okay. It depends on how it goes. If it's because our pass rush was suddenly adequate and we're putting quarterback on his back, we're applying pressure, then I'm giving a lot of credit to Patricia.
Yeah.
If it's because the secondary is stepping up and they're just playing out of their minds and they're batting down passes and Slay has another 9 interception season, then I'm giving credit to Terrell Austin, not Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Justin, what about you? You're saying it's Patricia. Is regardless of the record, is all success given to Patricia? Or can we say some of this was Caldwell being the builder, just not the guy that could lead the team?
If Patricia can count to 11 at all times, he gets all the credit. I mean, no, but seriously, though. Patricia, I mean, the players are who the players are. Bring your rookies in. Yeah, they're not going to get you a Super Bowl. So if Patricia can get more out of people and get more consistency, he's a fart in the wind. I don't really care about Caldwell. Like, your time has passed. You sucked majorly, and I give it all to Patricia. But Russ has a fair point about not Cooter. Who are you just mentioning?
Terrell Austin.
Terrell Austin, yeah.
Thank you. I always forget that one. But I think the credit goes there before it goes to Caldwell.
Okay, that's fair.
Because Caldwell can't count to 11.
That is an important thing to do when you have 11 guys on the field, but that's fine.
I'm just trying to figure out, you know, that Kansas song, Fart in the Wind. That's not quite what I remember it.
I think that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, something like that.
It's close enough.
That's right.
Listen, I think, regardless of what happens this year, some of this credit has to go to Jim Caldwell. The guy, I think he had a losing record one of the years, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think his second year.
Second year or something. Yeah. But I'm saying, the guy had us in the mix of things 3 years in a row. We sputtered down the stretch, weren't able to close games out that we should have been able to close out. But he got us far, far, far removed from the team that just a few years prior was 0-16, 2-14, drafting in the first three picks every single round, to a team that, if I remember correctly, we haven't had a top 10 pick in 3 or 4 years now.
It's been a bit.
Yeah,
since Caldwell's been.
Yeah, but he made steps. Uh-huh. So I think no matter what success happens this year, part of this has to go to Caldwell. He like I said, he's probably a guy who would be a great, front office person to make the moves. He just doesn't know how to use the pieces that he's acquired to be successful. Partly because, like Justin said, he doesn't know that he's allowed to use one more player than he really does. So
I don't think he
that
knows.
And he was around when Ebron got drafted, so that's kind of a knock against him, too.
Yeah, that happens.
He also doesn't know how to use more than one emotion, so...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
If I need someone to tell me to check the report, then we can bring him back.
Okay. Speaking of really bad front office moves, let's talk about the Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, no.
Please.
Oh, no.
The other day, our friend Luke sent us a little something about how Captain Henrik Zetterberg isn't 100% in on if he's going to come back this year. I know where Justin's going to go, so we're going to go the complete other way. Russ, are you okay with him hanging it up? Are you okay with the C leaving number 40?
I mean, it's going to happen eventually. Am I going to be happy when it happens? No, of course not. Yeah. I still think Hank has something to offer. I think we need to take him out of center.
Yeah.
I mean, or move down his usage. He can't be a top-line center anymore.
No.
Maybe he can be a left winger if you've got a center that can drive play and transition. But they're using him as a center, and our center depth isn't great. But no, I mean, we're talking about the guy who was second in our team in points last year. I mean, he's been the captain for 6 years. There's not a lot of other people, but to challenge him for that point title, but he still put up 56.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's 40 points away from 1,000 on his career. It would only be the fifth Red Wing to ever do so while wearing a winged wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to come back just to break that.
Yeah.
He don't have to play 82 again. I can't believe he played 82 this past year with his back, but he did. So there's still something in the tank, and that's what makes me think we're not getting towards long-term IR this year, maybe next. But, hey, Hank, play 60, play 70. Get your 40 points and then go.
Okay. That's more than fair. Before the hatred comes in,
uh-oh.
I'm gonna disagree, but not for an angry reason of that I don't think he can do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, I believe it was you that said the other night, he or I don't know who said it, he's more of a dumping, you know, chase kind of guy, grind the boards. He's not going to, you know, beat a guy one-on-one anymore. He's a possession guy. I like that, but I like that that's 15, 16 years younger sitting mm-hmm. in Grand Rapids wasting their talent. I see him leaving as a possibility for this youth that we have
mm-hmm.
to start getting chances. He's a good player. I guarantee you he's not going to make top five in points this year. I don't see it anymore.
In top five on the wings.
On the wings, yeah. I don't see it.
I absolutely believe he will.
I don't see it.
As long as he's playing, yeah.
I know, but I just, like, if the Red
Wings, yeah.
Listen, I'm going to use this word one more time really loudly.
Yep.
If the Red Wings do what they should do,
yeah,
there's an abundance of talent on this team
mm-hmm.
that should surpass him. Dylan Larkin, Anthony mm-hmm. Seau, Mantha, Zadina if he plays, and I don't know, fill in fifth name here, but I promise you there's one more.
Yeah, we can't get to the fifth one is the problem.
I don't know who else is on this team anymore.
Vanek would be a chance to get around 50 points
if he plays the right full year with us. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was going to say a defenseman, just like, because, you know, you never know. Green has the capability of being good.
Every year with us, Green has put it between 33 and 36 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. And you can't trust DeKaiser to do anything.
God, no.
Cronwall, Erickson, none of them are going to contribute.
No.
So, yeah, Zadina, Vanek, I'll say, if he can hold around.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I forgot. Okay, I can refresh now. Larkin, yep. Anthony Seau,
yep.
Mantha, Zadina, if he makes this team and stays,
mm-hmm.
Nyquist.
You think Nyquist is more of a benefit to this team than Henrik Zetterberg?
I think he should be right now. Nyquist is what, 28? All right, so he's our age. 28. Henrik Zetterberg is got to be on the upper sides of
37.
Yeah. So, yeah. A guy that's 9 years younger than you, I think you should be having a better time. He's not. But
it
should be there. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Zetterberg has reached the point now. Obviously, he's not 50 like Jaromir Jagr, but he's reached the point now where the fall's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just afraid that, like you said, with the back, he's played for this team consistently for the last 17 years. I'm afraid you're going to get one of the cliff dive falls mm-hmm. where it's going to be bad and it's going to turn ugly. So I would much rather, hey, you're going out on a high note. You're going out as a guy that is loved in this town. Go out that way. Don't go out as the guy that, mm-hmm. you know, stayed too long, tanked, burned up a roster spot that we could use on a younger guy to get experience for this youth movement we're eventually going to have to make.
Chill
that's
it.
Where I sit. Yeah. That's where I sit, though.
Malby.
If we're talking Draper. About freeing up a spot, though, are we really so desperate for it? Have we been put in such a bad spot by this front office that we're talking about our captain retiring and not, not signing Vanek, not having Witkowski, letting Ferk and his shot and nothing else go play in the minors? Like, there's other Hank isn't the gate that's holding the prospects back.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that Henrik Zetterberg is the only piece that needs to go.
This went wrong a long time ago.
No, believe me.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is you've got a guy
mm-hmm.
who's not younger anymore. He can still play the game of hockey, obviously, but he's on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you're the Red Wings, say, listen, you know you're more than welcome to come back here. But if you're ready to go, we're ready to make that next step that we're waiting on. Because let's be honest, it's Henrik Zetterberg. He has a spot on the Detroit Red Wings till he doesn't want to have a spot on the Detroit Red Wings mm-hmm. anymore. They're not going to look at him and go, yeah, you're gone. Like they're not going to do that. We don't send, I don't want to say legend, but we don't send all-time greats for the team out to pasture like that.
We don't even send Cronwall out.
No.
He was very good in his prime, but the
Cronwall
guy
was good because
he
was playing
fully.
With the best defenseman of all time. That's why he was good.
he's still an above average starter.
But we've had this statement before, Russ. Yeah. You could put me out there with Nick Lindstrom. I'm not going to look terrible because it's Nick Lindstrom.
There's a very wide chasm.
I can hit people really hard. We've seen me hit people real hard. I can hit people real hard too. It's just, I just think that Zetterberg is at a point now mm-hmm. where he's always been a team player.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance mm-hmm. to pick the team over yourself. I get you've been playing this game since you were a kid. I get it's not easy to let go of. But you're at a position now where you can step away
mm-hmm.
and let the next phase step in, and we can start this rebuild that we're not saying is a rebuild.
Needs to be a rebuild.
Yeah, it needs to be a rebuild. But you can start this rebuild. And I'm more for that. If he comes back, I'm going to root for him. I got a number 40 jersey hanging in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
I will wear to games. I will support. But it's kind of like Stevie. It's kind of like that, and that's a better way to say it. Steve Yzerman, Nick Lindstrom,
mm-hmm.
they knew when it was time, and they left. I'm afraid Zetterberg and even Datsuk in a way. He knew he didn't want to be here anymore. He knew it was time to get away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid Zetterberg is just going to hold on that extra beat too long, and it's going to be it's going to be like that ugly breakup you don't want where it's like, yeah, we can't have you here anymore.
Well, I promise you with his salary dropping to $1 million next year, his holding on to a beat the only chance too long. His only chance is this year because he's gone.
I'm not saying that, but
I think coming off a 56 point season, he's still a useful piece.
Justin, let's hear it.
I will pack his bags personally for him right now.
Woof.
And let me explain why. Henrik Zetterberg, with or without him, we're not winning a Stanley Cup.
Okay.
He has zero agility left in his game at all. I was the one who said the dump and chase stuff. I don't need Henrik Zetterberg, yes, our captain on our roster, wasting our time and space, especially if we know he's only making $1 million next year and he's got to go. Why the hell are we going to keep him? I know we're going to. It's not a business decision. Kenny doesn't know how to make business decisions. He knows how to give Dan Cleary sweetheart deals, keep Chelios, Draper, and Malpe on the fourth line wasting time and overdeveloping our talent. I know he'll come back, but I want him to retire. So bad. Like, great, give him a day, give him a night, give him a game, honor the hell out of him, but then get out. Like, I'm done with Henrik Zetterberg because we're not winning a Stanley Cup with or without him. So we might as well do what I want to do, which won't happen, but let the young guys play. Let them fail and grow as a group. I hear people all day long, oh, well, Zetterberg is a veteran presence in the locker room. We just need him to talk to people. Fuck that. He doesn't need to talk to anyone. He's talked enough. Like, go. Like, I don't need his veteran presence to pass down, oh, this is how you run a team and this is how you're the captain, so Ablicator can do it his way. His way didn't work. It worked when Lindstrom was here. It worked when Datsuk was on the team. Zetterberg needed those pieces. I need Zetterberg to pick up his pieces and get out.
So do you put any stock then in trying to shelter your rookies coming up, or would you throw Zadina against like Marchand and Bergeron's line when we play them?
Builds character. I'd put him in there.
Builds character.
If you
rub some
dirt
on
it,
kid.
Hack it,
Yeah.
If you can't hack it and, the big guy with the big rat nose got mad at me, then you don't deserve to play in the NHL. Like, the game is all finesse and speed anyways. Mm-hmm. So what? Yeah. You're going to get bumped a couple times, and maybe you take your lumps, and you figure it out. Like, we coddle them as if they're like children who live in a bubble. Like,
I'm not even talking about physical play. If he goes against that line, he'll never see the puck. And he might play 18 minutes a night then and have it three. I mean, he is objectively not ready to play against those top liners, I don't think.
I do. Talent's talent.
You think already?
I think he's ready to play against them. Do I think this is going to be the human highlight reel like we saw with Datsyuk when he had guys like falling backwards doing these moves? No. But I think talent's talent. He's been the best everywhere he's gone.
Okay.
Not saying he's, you know, McDavid. He's going to just jump in the NHL and, look at me, I'm here.
There's very few people that can make that transition the first year.
I would rather him get up here and see, because guess what? If you need to make adjustments to your game, maybe this move or this style doesn't work, I'd rather you learn it now so we have a, what is it, he's 17, 18. So I'd rather we have a 20-year-old Zadina who knows what he needs to do to get the puck in the net than a 24-year-old or 25-year-old who's just now figuring it out because he's got inconsistent playing time the last few years. Yes, is it a kind of that mentality of throwing to the wolves? It is. But, like I said, talent's talent, and I think his talent will it'll work. No, it'll work.
I'm not arguing that he shouldn't be up because he should be getting experience. I'm arguing that he shouldn't be playing 19 minutes a night from the get-go.
No.
He should be a third liner.
A third liner with some power play time.
Yes. He's not the first line.
No.
First line player.
And that's where Hank is. He probably shouldn't be at this point in his
career. Hank shouldn't be either, though. We're all in agreement on that.
I mean, unless we christen Larkin and Mantha's line as the first line, which is probably a good idea.
It should be.
And then Zetterberg plays more of a defensive role on the second line. Where does that
Your statements of what we need to do for Zetterberg, for him to stay, I'm 100% on the page with. Yeah. I agree. That's the contingency for him staying. Not the Red Wings will never do this. You can stay, but we have some ground rules. You're not a center anymore. You're not. And guess what? He's a pretty good defensive player.
Yeah.
We need you to be there because we don't have a very solid defense. We know you're going to contribute on assists. You're a great setup man. You grind out plays. You're very effective on the boards. You're not our top center anymore. We have this guy number 71. We're trying to invest a future in him. We need a chance to do that.
I'm fine with that.
That needs to be their first line. Yeah, I'm not one of these people who Zadina needs to be up here. He needs to be the first liner, all that. No. Maybe some second line play here and there. Third line guy to start the season, power play. You know, let him figure out what he needs to figure out. Even as a third liner, you're still going to have to go up against a first line defense here and there.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to happen.
You're going to find yourself on the ice, like you said, with Bergeron. You're going to find yourself on the ice against Burns and Carlson, Subban. And guess what? Those are your opportunities, because if you can play with those guys, I don't have any worries. I have no fear. And guess what? It puts a huge target on a few of these young guys who think they're cemented in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Puts a little bit of a target on Anthony Seau to say, hey, guess what? We have other guys that are, you know, doing this, and they're not bitching and moaning when they're doing it. Time to start showing us that you actually deserve the contract you seem to think you deserve. That's just my opinion. Jay?
Yeah. I mean, you can put him on the second. You can put him on the third. Hell, you can put him on the fourth line. He's done. Like, I finished that book. The book of Zetterberg is closed. Like, there's no extra credit. There's no encore. I'm sick of watching his tired ass not skate over the blue line and start a play. He doesn't have the speed like he used to. Like, you see his brain, you see his hands, but his feet don't move. And if he's got back issues too, like, I don't need liabilities. We're not winning the Stanley Cup, but we have the expectation that we should be.
This is the only defense I will give to this. I will be 30 here in a few months. I am like one third as fast as I was 9 years ago. That's what I'm trying to say, Justin. He's older. He's reached that journeyman level where he's no longer, he's not 27, 28. You know, him and Datsyuk, the Euro Twins, the two best players in the league kind of thing. So you got to expect the age to come in, and yes, the veteran presence is a thing, But to say you're sick because he's not fast anymore, well, I'm sorry. No one who is 37 is as fast on the ice as they were when they were 29 years old.
And that's fair.
So you got to take that with a grain of salt.
No, I can understand that. But like when you see a rose is starting to wilt, you cut its head off and you move on to the next rose. So like I'm done. Like he could retire and I'd say thank you for your service and thank you for doing that. And next man up. And because what else do we have to lose? I got no problem with it. And it's strange because it's our captain. Like, no one talked like this about Steve Yzerman. Like, never. Like, that he was a saint. You couldn't say shit about the guy. But, like, I'm so dejected from Zetterberg that I don't care what he does. Like, Datsyuk's gone. Lidstrom's gone. The whole 90s era of hockey, those players are all gone. We have to listen to Osgood on the broadcast now. Like, Zetterberg, just, like, you know, here's the door, buddy. Like, that's where I'm at.
Fair enough.
Yeah, man, when he plays this year and he gets his 40 points and they do the 1,000th game, I'm just going to look at you and don't you smile. Don't you enjoy this?
No, I won't. I won't enjoy a single second of it.
Okay. I'm just making sure you know.
I'm no flip-flop. I will toe my line, my buddy.
I have a feeling that we're going to have another conversation about him later because I'm not done talking about Hank for this podcast.
Oh, God.
And you're not going to like it.
It's fine. I am done talking about him for this podcast. So, all right. What Russ is alluding to is we're finally getting on to our best of. This best of, I think, has the potential to be one of the more heated ones, just because I don't know if anyone can tell this. We're kind of Red Wings fans. Just a little bit, a lot.
Yeah.
Justin doesn't really know a lot about hockey. He makes that evident with every podcast. But we're going to do... We are going to do the top 10 all-time Red Wings. Top 10. This list, you can have it. I have it in somewhat of an order. Just because someone's 2 instead of 3 doesn't mean that, you know, this is just more in my opinion. And I'm going to make a guess here that if we don't all have 4 out of the top 5 the same, doesn't have to be in the same order, but our top 5 should be all the same players because... It's really 5 players that are a little bit higher than the rest in this world. Justin, I'm so afraid. Justin, we're going to let you go first.
Okay.
Let's see how creative Justin got. Give us 10. We know you have backups. Give us 10.
Well, I take offense at the fact that you said I don't know shit about hockey, which is like 100% wrong. This is not the NBA. You know, there's no soapbox drama over here. I know my stuff.
All right, let's see this.
And I think you'll be impressed. So number one with a bullet, dead on, Steve Yzerman. Maybe it's because I grew up in that era. I don't know, but he's my all-time favorite. And the rest kind of do fill in as they naturally would for my top 5. But I've got Steve Yzerman. I've got Gordie Howe. I got Nick Lidstrom. I got Ted Lindsay. And I got Bob Probert. Those are my 5 guys right off the top. Like, it took me 2 seconds to come up with that list.
All right, so is this order or are you just, hey, this is my 10 and these are 5 of my 10?
If I had to go order, Steve Yzerman, Gordie Howe, Lidstrom, Lindsay, and Bob Probert would probably drop down a little bit out of the top 5.
Okay.
But nonetheless, Yzerman, Gordie, Lidstrom, Terrible Ted, and Big Bob Probert. Rest in peace. My next 5 were my difficult ones, and I probably changed this 100 times over because I had different guys for different reasons, some of which you guys will just absolutely fucking hate. But... I eventually landed on putting Chris Osgood in the middle of this whole thing.
Ooh.
And I'm not a big Ozzy fan at all. Maybe it's the baby face. Maybe it's because he had, you know, 2 cups. That's great. And there's a lot of lackluster in between. The goaltending position is very, very, very contentious in Detroit. But he's got the most wins in the playoffs for the Red Wings in their history. I can't deny that. So Osgood made the list.
Okay.
Next up, Pavel Datsyuk.
All right.
It was either Pavel or Hank. It couldn't be both. And I went with Pavel over Hank. He's a phenom. His deeks alone and his offensive abilities is what tops over Hank. I'd rather take a one-way forward who is a sharpshooter slash dangler over a two-way forward any day of the week. So
Pavel won that. How do you deal with the fact...
Datsyuk is a two-way forward,
yeah,
though. That's what I'm trying
was,
to...
Yeah, Datsyuk won three Selkies for being a two-way forward.
Babcock was quoted once as saying that Datsyuk is the greatest two-way forward he's ever seen.
Okay, so yes, and I knew you guys were going to say that. I don't have a problem with that. but his scale leans more towards offense, where Zetterberg is more of like, I'm a prototypical center. I'll play both ends of the ice. I'll get involved. But Datsyuk's offensive abilities outweigh Zetterberg's. I know they're both two-way players, so maybe it's not fair that I said he's more of a one-way, but his offensive abilities is what got him on here over Zetterberg all day long.
So how do you deal with the fact that Zetterberg has more goals, assists, and points than Datsyuk?
Currently, even after this last season?
Correct.
I mean, he's the center. He's a part of practically every end of
centers.
The game. I mean,
to be fair, I don't know if you're going to be able to tell me this or not, but you got to cut it back that Datsyuk hasn't played in the NHL in 2 years now.
Yeah,
was it even close when they left?
Back the numbers.
Yeah, it would have been close, but Datsyuk also came in a year before Zetterberg.
Okay, so we'll call it a wash. So yeah, that he's got more points. That's fine. That's just where I'm at with my gut feeling. I'll take Pavel. Pavel's on the top 10 for me.
Okay.
Going forward, and this is where it gets a little dicey. I've got Dino Cicerelli. That's obviously just a homer pick because he was my guy growing up.
Okay.
1,200 games, over 1,200 points, over 1,400 penalty minutes. Those three items, when they line up stacked like that, you are a machine. You don't care what the score is. You don't care what you're doing. Dino was my man, so he made the list. Thomas Holmstrom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Homer. As soon as you said Dino, homer popped into my head, so okay.
The fact that this man barely, or at least pretended to not speak a whole lot of English, took his licks in front of the front net and just said, thank you for my paycheck. I got my ass beat in front of the net. I get all kinds of crazy goals where I'm not even moving my feet, and I'm just posting up. Like, he created that role of, I'm just going to skate up into the crease and just hang out there and let you guys play with the puck. Like, that's a boss-ass move. So the fact that he did that quietly, under the radar a little bit, Holmstrom's on there.
Okay.
My last spot, and this is the one I juggled with, and I'm actually going to tell you my alternate before I do the last spot, but I'm super high on Brian Rafalski, a great, great, great American defenseman. He was like the second best on the team while Lidstrom was there. Rafalski, again, he's bald like me. It was great, but he quietly did his job, and I love that about him. He's honestly one of my favorite defensemen.
That is in no small terms because of his hair choice.
He's more of a devil, though, wouldn't you say?
Probably, yeah, but I just, at a time where, like, we needed, like, the depth defenseman, yeah. Rafalski was that man. When he left, yeah. I was devastated.
I like Rafalski. Rafalski and Lindstrom out there together a couple times, that's scary to have to contend with, but okay.
I wish I could get him back on the team. Other guys that were in that last contention spot, Joey Kosher, Mike Vernon, Brendan Shanahan, and then, of course, Aaron Downey. I was obsessed when Aaron Downey came onto the Wings. But again, that's just like a homer pick, though. Just forget about it, because he was like there for less than 60 games.
Hey, at least you know.
So, with my last one, Darren McCarty. I know I've ragged on him before in the past, but what he did to Ron Hextall on that breakaway goal in triple overtime, what he did for the team, beating the shit out of people and being involved in the rivalry with Colorado, I mean, D-Mac he's the type of player you want on your team. He doesn't have to get all the points. He doesn't need all the accolades, but he cares more about the logo on the front than the name on the back. And he was huge for the Motor City. So, like, D-Mac, he took the last spot over everyone else, even though I love Rafalski and I love Mike Vernon. But I guess my real issue is I don't have any of the Russian five on here, but I would love to group them up and just put them all into one little Russian bottle and put them in there somewhere, but like, they didn't make it in my world.
Maybe a little Kachina doll. I mean, I'm just saying, it's a Russian thing.
Stack them all up and shove them in the top 10. I can work with that.
Okay.
Fair enough.
But so that's who I've got for my top 10.
I like it. It was what we expected. Yeah, it's eclectic. He threw in some feels, so I can't take it away from him. I'm going to go now so Russ doesn't take everyone I've ever come up with on a list.
Good call. Good call.
Mine, I mean, I didn't have to dig too deep to come up with 10 names here. And my last two are reaches, but there's reasons, and I think they're fair reasons. So my list, Gordy, okay. Nick Lindstrom, Steve Yzerman, Ted Lindsay, and number five, here come the yells, Pavel Datsyuk.
Ooh, Datsyuk 5.
Datsyuk 5.
All right.
Because I agree
show
with...
Show your work.
Show my work. I agree with Justin. He, the, it's they're right there. They're always going to be mentioned in the same breath in Detroit because they all their accomplishments for the most part were together. You just for me it becomes more the eye test. Datsyuk just seemed to always be right where we needed to be when we needed him to be there, and it was just he was enjoyable to watch. He was an amazing player. If you ask me, of the two of them, yes, Hank's got the stats. Hank's played 2 years more. Datsyuk's the one that in this next generation, he's the next number to go in the rafters, if you ask my opinion. It's going to be a little bit, but he should be the next one to have his number up there. 13 should not be worn by another Red Wing. And I think Zetterberg will probably get the honor too, but Zetterberg will get like the late honor when we're, mm-hmm. we need something to throw in the rafters. So, but they're both there. I actually don't have Zetterberg on the list just because Datsyuk was just so much further for me.
Oof.
Okay. Next, Chris Osgood.
You guys both had Osgood at six.
So Osgood. Chris Osgood.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Again, for the fact, Russ and I have talked this a million times. The dude has numbers that mirror Patrick Waugh. He made some horrible, horrible plays on pucks that even I could have saved. But the guy's got cups. Yep. The guy's won hockey games. Sure, he was playing on all-star teams a couple of those years,
mm-hmm.
but he, you know, you still have to stop the puck. No mm-hmm. matter who else is on the ice, you still have to stop the puck.
Oh.
Right below him, the second-best goalie the Red Wings have ever had, Terry Sawchuk.
The second-best goalie?
He's the second-best goalie, dude.
Okay.
Second-best goalie.
Okay.
Okay. He's a great goalie. He's a great player.
Okay.
Second-best goalie.
So why isn't 30 up in the rafters?
How do you know it's not going to be? How do you not know?
Because last week we were talking about you guys saying Fedorov hasn't been up now, so he's not going to be. Why doesn't the same logic apply to Osgood?
Because he's in the broadcasting career, so he's kind of still with the team, so they can't retire it yet.
They can't retire it until he stops. So then they won't retire it until he's 65 or 70.
I'm not saying that it should be up there. Let's be honest. Terry Sawchuk's jersey has been up there for like 50 years.
Oh, it's been up there for a bit. Yeah.
So none of us actually saw Terry Sawchuk play the game of hockey. Yeah. None of us saw him play that game. A lot of our belief, I mean, the numbers are there, mm-hmm. and we've seen he won cups, mm-hmm. but a lot of it's the legend.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up a Red Wings fan, you know, number 9, number 1, number 7, number 12 are numbers to be revered.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting one more.
10.
10, thank you. Are numbers to be revered. They are the legends of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you one great move Ted Lindsay ever made. You know what Ted Lindsay's known for me? The first guy to ever lift the Stanley Cup off the table and take it around the ice. First guy to ever do that.
And that puts him on the list by itself.
Well, he's also terrible, Ted.
Oh, yeah.
Gordy,
I mean, there's other reasons.
Everyone knows Gordy. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't tell you one thing Terry Sawchuk did other than stopping the puck with his face. He was a great goalie, but you know he also played in a generation where their padding was literally what I have on right now.
Oh yeah,
maybe a little bit more. So he was great. We don't know. He probably would have been the greatest goalie of all time if they had given him those big ass pads back in that day. He's on the list. Osgood's numbers should be up there, but the problem is Osgood won't get retired because what I just mentioned. He made some dumb plays.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt him. He's not as consistent in everybody's mind because he let in, I believe it was like 2 goals in 2 games from the blue line through his legs.
Yeah.
You're not getting your number in the rafters when those are highlights. So I love Osgood. To me, Osgood is the greatest goalie in Red Wings history,
mm-hmm.
but he's right there with Terry. That's why I've got him right next to each other. I didn't distance it. Speaking of your little qualm.
My qualm.
Number 8, Sergei Fedorov.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
We argued this last week. I texted Russ right after the show. The numbers are there. Yeah. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's my first representative of the Russian Five. I have two.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
The other one's gonna get batted down by YouTube, but there's a reason.
Maybe we'll see.
But Sergei's there. He's an amazing Red Wing. Mm-hmm. He was the best offensive player on our team. For probably, at least seven years there,
mm-hmm.
from the mid-90s into early 2000s. He was our offensive, he was our Datsyuk before Datsyuk kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but hang on. I got a question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Datsyuk did the same with less. Is Sergei still Sergei without the other four members?
Datsyuk did not do the same with less. Datsyuk did less with less than Sergei Fedorov.
All right, so let me put that back in my mouth. is Fedorov still Fedorov without the rest of the Russian five? That's just one lump sum. I just think a boy band. Like you're not Justin Timberlake. You're 98 Degrees, and you're all just collectively this one thing.
I'm gonna let Russ throw out the numbers. I know he has because he's staring at his pad. Uh-huh. But my statement to you is, I said it earlier when the whole Zadina thing. Talent is talent. Fedorov would have been Sergei Fedorov without the other Russian five. The Russian five make that story great. He still would have scored all those goals because it's him scoring those goals. It's not Larionov. It's not Konstantinov, Fetisov. None of those guys put that puck in the net. He would have had to do it in a different way. But Sergei Fedorov was an offensive talent on his own. Same as Datsyuk was an offensive talent on his own. You still have to put that puck into that net with someone blocking it. And they both did it in their own way. I just think that Datsyuk, obviously I know more about Datsyuk because I watched Datsyuk from beginning to end with memory. I don't remember the 1989 hockey season because I was not even a year old when it started. So Sergei still would have done what Sergei did. The Russian five just makes it a lot more glowing of a story. That's my opinion.
No, that's fair.
Give the numbers.
Well, I'll start with Fedorov has a Hart Trophy when he had to play with the likes of Lemieux, Gretzky, and Steve Yzerman.
Yep.
Datsyuk doesn't have one of those. He's got four Lady Bings, but I think Justin's been a large proponent of not giving two shits about the Lady Bing. Yep. But Fedorov is fourth all-time goals in Wings history. And we covered last week how he didn't play his whole career with the Wings, where some of these guys did. So Datsyuk played more games with the Wings.
Yeah.
Less goals. Same with assists. Same with points. This guy is a two-way forward in the way that we've never seen. Bowen put him on defense when we lost defensemen to injuries and said he could be a Norris defenseman if he wanted to be, if we put him back there.
This is where you're going to hate me. I would take Datsyuk over Sergei in that regard. The two-way forward aspect.
Okay.
I think that, and again, Bowman said that in the early 2000s.
Yep. Yep.
Babcock said that in the late 2000s. Mm-hmm. Babcock coached against Sergei.
Yep.
And he actually did coach against Datsyuk, but he also coached Datsyuk. If you ask me, Datsyuk was the more complete player.
Okay.
Sergei was the really good offensive player, that guy you see who can do everything with the puck, but he's also the guy that has no problem getting back on defense because he knows he needs to help the guys that are helping set him up.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
No,
that's
fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, I'd still take Fedorov
but
over
Datsyuk.
But to argue the heart thing.
The
numbers are there.
Yeah.
He played against tougher competition, I'd say. Yeah, he had better teammates for some of that.
Yeah. But to argue your heart argument.
Yeah. Yep.
He had to do it against Lemieux, Yzerman, and
Gretzky. Yeah.
Three guys who are great, great hockey players, greatest of all time. All are, I believe, in the top five in points all time.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Lemieux's not just because of his injuries. Points per game, he is.
I thought Lemieux was like high up there all time on. Okay.
No, because he only played 900 some games.
Okay. So, but
Russ, I only have one stat correction to make. Yep. He did make a mistake.
Uh oh.
Datsyuk does have a heart. There is one in his body. Like he's capable of.
Oh, God.
That's not how you spell
that
trophy.
But my point to you is, we're looking at this in generation because we have the full scope of what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Datsyuk has had to go against the likes of Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin.
Okay.
He's had to go against guys who, when it's all said and done, and if we do this argument 10 years from now, Crosby and Ovechkin 100% are going to be in the conversation with Gretzky, with Lemieux, with Yzerman, with Howe. So at the same point, they both had the same obstacle to overcome.
Similar.
But Datsyuk also was, again, Datsyuk was never, like, he was a scorer. Mm-hmm. Datsyuk was never going coast to coast with the puck.
No.
With the intent of scoring. He took what was there, made the plays. Sergei, if you watch his highlights, was a coast to coast with the puck.
Oh, absolutely.
Made you miss.
He was
a
one-man transition machine.
He was. So I think that was also a hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Datsyuk never lit up the stat sheet because Datsyuk was doing everything on the stat sheet. Sergei was doing it marginally at times, but he was still a great player all around.
Okay.
That's my.
Okay. Well, you had two more on your list.
I did. Neither.
You deviated a little.
No, this is where it's going to get bad.
Uh-oh.
My number nine.
Yeah.
never actually put on a Red Wings jersey.
Huh?
Scotty Bowman. Without Scotty Bowman, we're not having these conversations about even the 02, even the 08 team. Scotty came in to a team that was not very good, and the guy was already the greatest coach, and he played it out, mm-hmm. worked with it, got the pieces he needed, and now you're looking at a dynasty the likes of which no one has seen. 20-plus years consecutive in the playoffs. We literally have a Hall of Fame of our own just of players that are in the top of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty Bowman has to be considered one of the best Red Wings of all time because he built something that we're not going to see again in our lifetime, and if we do, it's going to be pretty tough to do.
Okay.
I got no problem with that. Yeah,
I'm actually okay. I didn't even think to include a coach in this.
I honestly, because I ran out of names. I ran out of names that I could arguably justify, yeah. And I just thought, you know what? All these names on here, save one or two, are Scotty. Without Scotty, yeah. They still would have been great, but they're not known as being lifelong mm-hmm. Red Wings who did all this. I mean, okay. Yzerman, Lindstrom, Fedorov, Osgood, Datsyuk. None of those guys, because Datsyuk, I guess, yeah, Scotty was in front office when Datsyuk and Zetterberg
yep.
were drafted.
Yep.
That's all Scotty.
Yeah.
So.
I now want to take out my Darren McCarty and put in Dave Lewis's mustache.
Dave Lewis's mustache. Not the coach, just that mustache.
No, sorry, just the stash.
You say you had something?
No.
I thought you said you had a question.
I'm impressed
for
of your out-of-the-box thinking.
Okay. Last one.
Yeah.
Please don't jump on me. All right. My other piece of the Russian fact. Vladdy.
Okay.
Vladdy, for the fact that I do genuinely believe Vladdy propelled that second cup. They wanted to get there. They wanted to win it. Yzerman has been quoted as saying there were multiple times when they were down and that team looked up and saw Vladdy, who is going through hell,
mm-hmm.
sitting in the press box doing nothing but cheering on his team. The guy's numbers, for all intents and purposes, retired. No one will ever wear the number 16
right.
again.
Shouldn't.
And a lot of why I think he was so great is because players even said he was the best player on that team. And who knows what this guy would have done if he doesn't get in that limousine.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Vladdy's kind of carries the legend. He pushes everything along. He's always out on the ice when those cups were brought out. Vladimir Konstantinov is one of the greatest Red Wings of all time, and he, you know, missed out on a lot of things. So I got to go with Vladdy. You can't. The Russian Five are Sergei and Vladdy.
Mm-hmm.
Igor and all them are great. But Sergei and Vladdy, if things had played out the way they really should have played out, Sergei and Vladdy would have been unstoppable for Detroit. Who knows what we would have done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
Yeah.
And you almost probably never would have heard of Nicholas Cronwall because Vladdy would have been there.
Yeah.
So no, that's.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's creative. If you want to talk from an intangible standpoint, I very much see where you're going, put him in the top 10 as a player only because he was tragically cut short.
He was.
It was. I think, without a doubt, if he didn't get in that limo, he would have been the second best defenseman to ever wear the winged wheel.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying. Again, it's a reach and if. We have to go with the talent mm-hmm. as it was rising. For all we know, he could have leveled off.
Oh,
he
yeah,
could have
possible.
Not worked out. Injuries could have caught him. But you know what? At the time that he, you know, and they even said he should have won the Norris Trophy mm-hmm. the year he got in his accident. He probably makes. We probably would have could say we had the best defensive tandem in NHL history if Vladdy gets to keep playing. So
oh, yeah,
I got to go with Vladdy. Like I said, last two were kind of me going for the Justin creativity. So
I like it.
Yeah, I think it worked. All right, Russ, repeat some names.
Well, yeah, I'm sure I've got some repeats that you guys have already mentioned because, hey, let's be honest, we've had some pretty good guys here in Detroit.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, I'm. I guess I'll point out, because it looks like he got shut out from our podcast, I did not put Brendan Shanahan in my list either.
Who?
Brendan Shanahan. Shanahan, that guy.
Gotcha,
you know,
yeah.
The guy who would elbow people in the back of the head and then later suspended people for doing that as well.
Fair enough.
Tremendous, tremendous player, but I kind of made my list into a greatest Red Wings of all time instead of greatest players to wear the winged wheel.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing, because if you look at, I noticed this, if you look at my list, I'm almost positive, someone might be able to correct me on this, every guy on my list was drafted by the Detroit Red Wings.
I don't think Scotty Bowman was.
Well, besides Scotty, everyone else was a Red Wing draft pick. So And I think most of our, most of our guys that everybody picked were Red Wings because they were drafted that way. Obviously, Shanny came from somewhere and then left to go other places, so it's a little tough. But yeah, definitely a name that needs to be there.
Right. Yeah, he just missed the cut for me, same as the guy that got so much love from you guys. Osgood just missed the cut for me as well. Yeah, okay. I couldn't find a way. He was number 11, though.
Okay.
But you'll find out some of these guys I couldn't squeeze him in
close.
Over some of these other guys.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll get the top three out of the way. It's kind of obvious. Everybody had him. Howe, Yzerman, Lidstrom. That's kind of my order. Howe, he's Mr. Hockey. He's number one in almost everything. Games played, goals, points, even strength goals, power play goals. Being a badass, you know, number one.
Yeah.
Basically, all the way around. The only thing he's not number one in is assists. And that goes to Stevie, right? That's why he came in number two. He's number two in pretty much everything else except for single season records.
Yeah.
Where he actually beats Howe in most things. He's got our top three most goals in a season, top two most assists in a season.
Okay.
Next one's Lidstrom, four cups, seven Norris trophies, Hall of Fame player. Got Norris votes in all but 3 years of his 20-year career, so probably something special, you know, that the coaches and his contemporaries also agreed.
Probably those baby years that he didn't get votes, I'm assuming,
that's
on.
Exactly it. It was his freshman year. His freshman year, geez. Holy cow. His rookie year, as they call it.
His kindergarten year, he wasn't getting.
Yeah, when he was in preschool, he didn't get a Norris Trophy.
Shucks.
But he did every other. But no, it was his first year, his second year, his fourth year. He didn't get votes. Every other year, he got multiple votes. So pretty obvious there. My next guy, I apparently gave him a lot more love than either of you guys did, because I do think he is the best Wings goalie to ever have played, and that's Terry Sawchuk, Mr. Stitches himself.
Yeah.
I know you had mentioned not exactly getting to watch him, and I'm not old enough to have watched him live, and I don't have a time machine yet.
Working
on it.
That's Ford's really doing, folks.
Not likely. Anyways, I mean, he's the kind of guy, he's number one all time in shutouts. Yeah. He's got more than the next closest guy. Your guy, Ozzy, only has 39. Terry Sawchuk has 85 career shutouts.
That's fine.
Right? Number one by a whole lot. And he had 904 save percentage, which, it doesn't sound that great, but when you're wearing two strips of, you know, fruit leather on your legs instead of actual big old pillow pads, it's a little harder to stop the puck.
Oh, absolutely.
And watching replays of this guy, the way he played it, he was almost a third defenseman back there.
Yeah.
He was the kind of guy that would come out and meet you way higher than you'd think a goalie would.
Absolutely.
I mean, I had a particular image of him taking out Bobby Hull's knees at the bottom of the circle, just coming out to challenge a shot, and took him out. And if you take out Bobby Hull, you're a good guy with me.
Yeah, he moved up in my list just for you saying that.
That's how that works for me.
Well, and back then, too, goalies kind of had to be the last defense. I mean, they are the last defense anyway. Yeah. They actually had to kind of be another defenseman who just happens to be able to touch the puck with their hand when they want to. So I could see that. And yeah, it's great. I mean,
hit
phenomenal.
Him before he hits me in the face with the puck.
Absolutely.
Because, God, I don't know what you have to be a special kind of crazy to be a goalie.
Absolutely.
But moving on, I was kind of shocked to see this guy not on any of your lists, but that's Alex DeVecchio, right? Up in the rafters in number 10, three cups, three Lady Bings. I guess that's why Justin doesn't like him, because, you know, he's got Lady Bing awards. But he's number three all-time in goals, number three all-time in points for the Wings. NHL named him a top 100 player. I certainly couldn't go too far on my list without seeing him. Next one, probably a little off the radar for me. I went with Red Kelly. Just because the guy is the other kind of two-way that we don't talk about as much. We talked about Sergei being a forward who played defense at times. Red Kelly went out and won a Norris and then switched to center and won more cups doing that. I think the guy was a monster. He was to Gordie Howe in the production line what Nick Lidstrom was to Steve Yzerman and Brendan Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that anchor back on the blue line that made the team go. And I think he might be one of the most underrated superstars to have played this game. My next guy, I know Justin doesn't like, and I couldn't have argued so much about him last week without putting him on here. It's Sergei Fedorov, right? Three cups, two Selkies, and a heart. Well, we kind of covered that earlier, so I don't think I need to go into it too much. My next two, I got to mention them as a pair because you guys mentioned them as a pair as well, but for some reason it was an either-or with you guys. Took them both because I think they both deserve to be on here. Datsyuk and Zetterberg, had them in the lineup, had them, Euro twins,
That says that you almost need to just couple them as the Euro twins, and it'll be okay.
I know I'm not coupling five guys together like Justin. But that's Justin a weird
cheats
Saturday,
numbers,
by the way.
Yeah, like, but, yeah. Oh, God.
Yep. There it is. He got it. So those are my two. And then to round it all out, I couldn't leave Terrible Ted off. So Ted Lindsay finishing it up. Number six all-time goals, number five all-time penalty minutes for the Wings. So he does a bit of both. And, hey, Justin, I finally took one of your goon guys.
I appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, but that rounds out my top ten.
You can't. And, like I was saying beforehand, like it's kind of insane, because this will bring me back to my last question. It's kind of insane that the production line is this phenomenal thing, but you only hear about two guys. And you've said that, you know, Sid didn't have the numbers. But still, you're kind of that, like, it's got to feel weird. The production line, you're a part of it, but... Mm-hmm. You're kind of like that afterthought to it.
He's
you know?
Weird middle child.
Yeah. Well, it's like you talk about the Russian Five. Yep. All were important.
Yep.
But Sergei, Vladdy, and Igor are kind of like up here. Mm-hmm. The other two, not that they were bad guys, but they just, they never got to like the upper echelon with the rest of them. You could kind of see where like the talent separated.
Right. I think, yeah, to further that, I think Sid Abel's Igor Larionov.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right, like an important piece, Hall of Fame type of player.
Yeah.
But Howe and Lindsay?
Yeah,
Fedorov,
exactly.
Konstantinov?
Like, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and whoever the third guy was.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair. Now,
Abdelkader?
Abdelkader, yeah.
No.
No. All right, so my last question to you guys is, because you mentioned it before, obviously Gordy played in a different time.
Absolutely.
But Gordy, no one, like when you ask who are the greatest hockey players of all time, it's one and two every time, whether it's Gordy first or Wayne first.
Oh, unless you put fries on your sandwich and, you know, Pittsburgh, then you say Lemieux and you're wrong.
You're wrong.
But
yeah.
Wait, what's wrong with fries on a sandwich?
Oh, no, nothing. I'm just stereotyping Pittsburgh people.
That's fair.
Oh,
that's fair.
Okay. Right, fair enough. That plays.
A little weird that the guy is revered as even by the greatest hockey player of all time, Gordy is revered as the greatest hockey player of all time. Because even Wayne says Gordy was the greatest.
Right.
That's humble, but, you know.
Yeah.
A little weird that number 9 isn't hanging right next to 99 is a number that no one else can touch.
That's a good question. I think it's because Gretzky was 99. It was pretty much
only
him,
9, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why they were able to do it. If they did 9 for Howe, they would have had to take it away from a lot of players. Guys like, all right, am I retiring 9 for Howe? Or am I retiring 9 for Howe and Maurice Richard?
Yeah.
Right? There was a lot of legendary players, even in Howe's time, that wore 9.
Right.
But at the same time, it would have been taking it away altogether because... Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. I'm sure there are a lot of NHL players right now, maybe get coming out of the NFL that were NHL. Wow, I can't believe you said that. NHL that would have liked to have worn 99.
Oh yeah,
because of, I mean, Taze has said he wears 19 because of Stevie.
Right.
It's one of those things. If you're the greatest of all time, how is that number not a number that no one else can wear? You're the best. You can't have this conversation. And what Wayne did was so phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wayne played in a great situation. You know, he was that talented. But when the greatest player, that's like Michael Jordan, them retiring 23, and Michael Jordan saying, yeah, but Dr. J is the greatest basketball player of all time.
Uh-huh.
Like, even the guy who is the greatest is saying, I'm not the greatest. That dude is. How is this not happening? Yeah. Especially when it's Gordy. Gordy transcended. He was what Wayne was in the 80s, in the 40s, doing it with technology they're not even close.
And the 50s and the
60s. And actually for a little bit there in the 80s. Yeah. It's just one of those things. How is the greatest player of all time's number not a unanimous retirement when even the guy we call the greatest agrees?
Well,
I was going to say that they didn't have an opportunity to retire his number because he played for too damn long.
Some say he's still playing out there.
He is somewhere.
And if you're quiet, you can hear him in the small towns of Canada.
You can hear him knocking someone's tooth out.
But yeah. Eric, if it makes you feel better when you look at the jersey being retired, just cover up one of your eyes. You only see one of the and then Gordy Howe's retired.
There we go.
I think it's a win-win if you just do it with one eyeball.
See, that's the answer I was looking for. That's the only answer we can come up with. Yeah, that's the only answer we can come up with, folks. Close one of your damn eyes. All right. My thanks to Justin Marcus. We had a good time doing this, buddy. Justin and I, we're going to hit the links tomorrow. I'm so excited. Guarantee he'll be sloshed by the fourth hole. This is going to be a good time. Good time. Thanks a lot, Justin. We really appreciate it.
Every and any time, my friend.
All right. Russ came in today. I appreciate it. Always love when I got someone to actually talk to so I don't look like that crazy person just talking to himself.
I mean, I try and duck back when people walk by so that they still think that.
Don't let them know.
You've got a reputation to uphold.
Don't let them know that you're here. You don't want to be seen with me.
No, it was a pleasure to come in, man.
Always good to see you, buddy. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.